All right, hello everybody. My name is Christian Haig, and I'm from the Baltimore City Health Department. This morning I'm going to present a study that we did of STD co-infection among HIV-positive individuals in Baltimore City from 2004 to 2008. And this is a study that we conducted with Ravika Runmuva and Rafiq Miazad, two of my fantastic co-workers at the Health Department. To give you some background for our study, we had some preliminary evidence that there were a lot of patients that were being diagnosed with HIV and later coming back, returning with an STD. And this had been noticed by some of our epidemiological staff. And this begged the question, is HIV counseling and testing, is it having an influence on sexual risk behavior? And we were very fortunate in our efforts that we had a precedent for this study, a paper written by Emily Erbelding and others in 2003, which looked at a period of the mid-90s and looked at STD co-infection among HIV-positive individuals. And this is what Dr. Erbelding and others found, that 13.9% of HIV-positive men were co-infected with an STD and 11.9% of women. Now, our study was looking at the period 2004 to 2008. Our purpose was to explore evidence of sexual risk behavior change following an HIV diagnosis. We hypothesized, based on preliminary evidence, that greater than 20% of incident HIV-positive individuals would be co-infected with an STD during the five-year follow-up period, so after their HIV diagnosis. And our method was a cohort of incident cases of HIV from 2004 who were followed for evidence of co-infection during the period 04 to 08. Now, our results were that 424 individuals were reported as incident cases of HIV in 2004. Of that 424, 53, or 12.5%, were co-infected within the five-year follow-up period. And of note, about 85% of these co-infected individuals were post-test counseled. And to give you an idea of the burden of disease among the co-infected individuals, about 58% of co-infection was gonorrhea, about 26% was syphilis, and about 15% was chlamydia. Now, this table gives you an idea of the risk behaviors among co-infected individuals in the left column, not co-infected individuals in the middle column, and that's the odds ratio at the end. The three factors that we came up with that were significant in our model were young age. You can see it's about a 10-year age difference between co-infected and not co-infected individuals. Reporting MSM risk behavior, and reporting commercial sex work risk behavior. And also, to a lesser degree, there was some significance among high-risk heterosexual risk behavior. So those were, of course, it's not surprising that the sexual risk behaviors were predictors of STD co-infection, but moving forward, we chose to focus on particularly age, individuals reporting MSM and CSW risk behaviors. Now, in addition to the high burden of co-infection among this group, we also found that there were several individuals coming back in repeated incidents with an STD co-infection. So these were our reinfected individuals. And these were people that came back after their HIV diagnosis, maybe twice, maybe several times, with an STD. So there were 22 individuals among that 53 who were co-infected who had more than one co-infection. Those 22 people, the small handful of people, accounted for 70% of all co-infections in this cohort. They were slightly younger at 26 years, average age. 40% of these individuals reported MSM risk behavior, and 27% reported high-risk heterosexual risk behavior. 82% of these individuals were tested for HIV at STD clinics. And of note, just to give you an idea of what we're talking about with reinfection, one person in the cohort had 9 STD reinfections during follow-up, and these are unique occurrences of STD infection. Another person had 5. So these are, you can see how the burden of disease, the burden of co-infection, is concentrated in a small handful of individuals. So this, seeing this reinfection caused us to re-examine how we are looking at our co-infection rate. You might remember from an early slide, it was about 12.5% co-infection that we were finding. So again, that was among 424 HIV-positive individuals. There were 53 co-infected individuals who had a total of 104 STD infections. So originally, of course, we were looking at co-infected individuals over HIV-positive incidents. That was 12.5%, but it wasn't telling us the whole story because we had so many reinfections of STDs. So we also looked at the number of STD infections per HIV-positive individuals. Just another way of looking at the data. And here we saw 24.5%. So it was a little bit validating to our hypothesis because our staff kept swearing that it had to be more than 12% co-infection that we were seeing, and this is the reason why. We were seeing the same individuals over and over again, not necessarily unique individuals. So in conclusion, again, we did find a high rate of co-infection that was identified, about 12.5%, particularly centered in MSM and CSW, individuals who reported MSM and CSW risk behaviors. There was a high rate of reinfection among some individuals, so people that were coming back more than once after their HIV diagnosis. And these individuals tended to be younger and also report MSM risk behavior. And as recommendations, we're not really sure how we're going to be using this moving forward, because we know targeted behavior change messages focused on particularly young MSM and commercial sex worker individuals may be a good way to move forward, but of course the effectiveness of that is uncertain. And here are a few references, in particular the Emily Erbelding study and several others that were useful to us. And thank you so much for your time, and I look forward to your questions or comments.
Excellent. We have 5 minutes for questions, and we'll start here.
Thank you very much for giving very intriguing data. My name is Kathy Jordan from the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. So,
hello.
Just a comment and then a question. So, it relates to some of your conclusions about potential extrapolation from these data for target populations that are in transition. But I think that there's a possibility also of, in this era of
Right.
So that's one comment. The question I have relates to the data that was sort of present the risk behaviors that were associated with subsequent STD co-infection. And I think that seems like we have a hint of protective behaviors too, although I'm not sure I want to play it that way. So the data were in terms of IV pumps, I guess.
Let's go
there. Lower odds ratio and odds ratio is actually. Yeah, there is.
Right. It was not. No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Not that I would advocate for. My next question to you is, are there any data that you can grant for potential protective?
So, for protective behaviors, we were finding nothing in our model suggested that there was that there was anything protective. Particularly age was highly significant. And when I say age, you can see here it looks as if age is protective because increased age decreases your risk of co-infection. So that's what we're looking at here. And it was also useful, I don't have the numbers here, but it was useful to look at individuals younger than 30 to break it up that way. And that was useful to us because individuals older than 30 we were seeing much lower rates of co-infection among those individuals. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay.
Michael Sam, Hello. But I
I believe they are. Yeah, I know it looks they should be correct. The heterosexual risk behaviors among co-infected individuals, these should be correct, and I can double check them for you. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a good point. And these were newly reported HIV positive individuals. Right. Sure.
Okay. We'll come back to this microphone.
Sure. Sure. So and another really good point. So this is individuals, anybody involved with commercial sex work or who reported either working or attending the services of a commercial sex worker. So this was both workers and customers, if you will. So this was male and female, which is why we didn't stratify by sex.
Okay. Right. So, but in general, the commercial sex workers were females, or
I can give you the data on the sex distribution, but they were pretty evenly male and female. So these were individuals, if they were male, they may be commercial sex workers or may have also been customers.
And in the case of somebody both a commercial sex worker and an MSM, would they be classified as MSM?
They would be in both categories. So these were not exclusive. These were, many individuals reported more than one risk behavior. Sure, thanks.
Okay, we have one last question.
Yes, I'm Bernadette from
the
University.
Hi. Sure. So these were individuals who reported no condom use, infrequent condom use, some individuals who reported sex under the influence of drugs or alcohol. So these were, I think that just about covers everybody. So that was, it was mostly centered around condom use and sex under the influence. Right. Thanks.
Terrific.